To the uninitiated, it's simply a floury white bun, the kind of bread you pick up in a bakery without a second thought. But for those in the know, and that's all of you listening down in Waterford for a start, the Waterford Blah is much more, because it's through this saucer-shaped bap that 300 years of history of the Daisha can be told. Today, three bakeries in Waterford are making 12,000 blahs every morning. Walsh's, Hickey's and Harney's. And Ella McSweeney has visited one of them to find out more about this white doughy yeast roll, which I have to confess I have, to my knowledge, never tasted.
Morning, Pat. Well, you say that 12,000 blahs are made each morning, apart from this morning, because it's bank holiday.
So I have no blah.
So you have no blah. Right. I was going to bring some, well, I was going to actually get some brought up for you, but this is a good day for bakers around the country because they have a lion.
All right. Now, tell us, what is a blah? How do you make it? And what does it taste like?
Well, I think the best person to tell you that is Master Baker Dermot Walsh, who is down in Waterford. He's one of the three bakeries you mentioned. He's a third generation master baker. And I stood beside him in his wonderful bakery, and by hand, he made a blah, and I watched him.
OK, Ella, here we have some strong baker's flour, which is made up of various grains from various countries, from Canada, France, Russia, and maybe some English. And to that, I'm going to add some salt. In the past, the salt would have come in on the boats into Waterford, into England, from the salt mines in England. And then we're going to put in some yeast, some baker's yeast. We're going to mix that with the flour. We're just going to make a small well in the middle of the flour. And to that, we're going to add some water.
Chilled?
Depending on the time of year. Room temperature will do fine. I'm now just going to gradually mix in the flour into the water, into the well. And what you hear, see here now is the flour starting to come together to a stage. It's called a thread stage.
It looks a little bit like scrambled egg stage.
Exactly, that type of thing. So it's just starting to come together. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to put this out onto the table.
What's the texture you're aiming for?
Soft and silky, almost elastic. That'll be the gluten in the flour gradually developing. And you can see now I'm just going to start working that gluten. And it gets more pliable and more pliable. It will go from this kind of untidy-looking, rough-looking shape into a soft, silky ball. For this amount of flour, it could take me up to 5 or 10 minutes to actually do that, of quite serious work.
Now, I presume he doesn't do it all by hand. 12,000 baps by hand. He's
he
doing it by hand there, yeah?
God love him, Dermot, who I know was listening, was quite out of breath doing it. And, you know, his grandfather, who was a master baker in Waterford, would have done it all by hand. And back 300 years ago, when the blah story started, they would have all done it by hand too. But now it's all done by machine. You press a button.
But there's only four ingredients. So what's particular about the blah that is so identified with Waterford? When it comes to made in Ireland, the Waterford blah is certainly up there. But the origins, maybe not Irish at all.
They're not. And I mean, the origins are very interesting from the French Huguenots. The Huguenots were the Protestant Reformed Church of France in the 15th and 16th century. They were persecuted for a long time by the Catholics over there. I mean, I was reading about the history of the Huguenots. In 1572, there's one day called St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre. 30,000 Huguenots were killed by Catholics. Just extraordinary. So what happened was they were either forced to become Catholics or they emigrated. 200,000 of them emigrated around the world. 10,000 of them came to Ireland. Places like the Dublin Liberties would be a centre for Huguenots back in the 16th, 17th century. A lot of them came to Waterford. And what was extraordinary about the Huguenots was that they were incredibly skilled lace makers. They made jute bags, sails for boats. They brought a lot of skills. They really enhanced the skill base of Waterford. And one of the skills was bakers. There were 30 sugar bakers in Dublin alone. And they, in 1693, arrived in Waterford City and they set up shop. They were, you know, very entrepreneurial. Mm-hmm. But they had a very strong sense of integrity. There's a saying, as honest as the Huguenot, very strong work ethic. And I mean, Sean Lemass actually has Huguenot roots as well, the previous Taoiseach of Ireland. So they came to Waterford, and part of what they did was they became bakers, and they invented the Blas. Now, I went and spoke to Eddie Winbury, himself who has Huguenot roots. We stood on the port of Waterford, which would have been at that time just so busy in terms of exports and imports. Mm-hmm. He told me a little bit more about the origins of it.
Irish people hadn't seen white flour, didn't know what it was. And so when they came, they introduced white flour into Ireland, into the ports here, into the port of Waterford in particular, and set up their own little mini bakeries and mini industries here. And the Blas then became a fact because we were making ordinary brown, old brown bread, stodgy brown bread and stuff like that. But they introduced a light bread, white. People were very suspicious of it at the start, as you can well imagine. You know, white bread, it was totally alien to their way of thinking. And then the offcuts of that became the famous Blas. It became a fact of life then that it was so easy to buy, it was so inexpensive to buy, that it kept people, it kept the wolf from the door.
And the bakeries that the Huguenots established here in Waterford, presumably they passed on their skills to Waterford.
Oh, they passed them on to Waterford. People took up skills like a flash. And so, consequently, there was an awful lot of... Even when I was a young boy, there was something like 8 shops in one street selling nothing, only Blas that they made themselves. And they all had their peculiarities. Some of the Blas, like Welsh's Bakery, would have made lovely soft Blas. Harney's out in Kilmacow in County Kilkenny, they made hard Blas with crusty tops, and there was a market for them all. Hickey's were a smashing bakery. Toby Hickey and his family would have been making Blas since Toby was born, filled with butter and eat it away. And I mean, you couldn't keep up to the speed with people eating Blas in Waterford.
And the use of the word Blas, is it used in any other context?
Oh, it is, yeah. Which is a very funny use for it altogether, because they're talking to someone and they say, well, you have a good job out there. And, oh, you have a right job altogether. How much, what have you? How much have you a week? Well, I have 600 Blas a week. Blas now becomes money. Or I had 300 Blas on them. Or they'll insult a gwibbage or Blas face, you know, and things like that.
So it's obviously valued.
Highly valued. It's part of our heritage. It's part of our history.
So where did the word Blas come from?
Yeah, it's difficult to know exactly where it came from. Most people down in Waterford will tell you it came from pain blanc, so, you know, white bread. Other people will say white flour would have been quite rare pre-industrial revolution. Another route could have been the French word blé for flour, but it's not exactly sure where it came from. All I know is it's seeped into other meanings, as Eddie mentioned there. And even when I was down there, people, I mean, they're so willing down in Waterford to talk about the Blas. It's just fantastic.
Now, the shape and the size of it, Waterford hadn't seen anything like it before, but the story of how the Blas came about, it was kind of pretty incidental, really.
It was, because the Blas, for people who don't know, it's a white bap. I mean, it's about the size, as you mentioned, of a saucer. But It started as a byproduct of making a loaf of bread. And again, Dermot, I spoke to Dermot about this, and he told me a little bit more about where it all came from. When the Huguenots were making their main loaf of bread, they had this byproduct, these little bits of dough that became the Blas.
Essentially, how it all happened was, as they cut off the larger pieces...
And you're cutting there?
...to make a bigger loaf...
You're cutting into large sizes.
Large sizes, right. Towards the end of the batch, they would have had a piece left over that wouldn't have been big enough to make in. And what they did is they just cut it up and they divided it up in little pieces like that, and they would have just roughly rounded them up shape-wise.
So not to waste the dough.
So it's not to waste the dough. Believe you me, back in those days, if it was food, people wanted to eat it, because Waterford was quite poor in those days, so nothing was wasted. So they would have just been roughly rolled up, placed on whatever trays they had, the peels that they used to put into the oven, long wooden sticks with the dough on the end of it, and baked.
The Blas was a by the way.
It was a by the way.
And it was just given away in bakeries.
Originally they gave them away because the area they were in was called New Geneva, and there would have been lots of other small little industries around, and people would have shared, barter, trade. The guy next door could have been making linen. He would have come in for a bite to eat. They get their few Blas, few bits and pieces. Didn't cost a baker anything because he was selling his pans. He was quite happy and he was giving these away. But gradually, they gained in popularity. People liked them.
And started to buy them. What's the traditional way to eat a Blas?
Well, you're asking the wrong person, but when I went down to Waterford, I asked them, bit of butter inside, very much so. Cheese and onion crisps with a bit of ham, and it's called a hang Blas. And also with rashers, because of course Henry Denny was down there in the 1820s. So stick a rasher in it. But the real traditional way of doing it is eating a Blas with something called red lead, which Dermot explains what it is.
Well, red lead is luncheon sausage. And again, red lead is a byproduct of the pork industry. It's all the various offal, bits of offal of the pork, ground up and mixed together with some herbs and spices. They just put this lovely colour into it to make it look more attractive. That coloured it absolutely bright pink. And the fact that lots of the guys in Waterford Crystal used to eat it, the lead that used to come in for the crystal was a similar colour, and they called the luncheon sausage red lead, is how it got the
and
red lead name.
Stick it into a blah.
And stick it into a blah, yeah. So back then, even like Waterford Crystal was a huge factory. All the guys going in, they all ate blah. Everybody in Waterford ate blahs.
And can you get red lead today?
Of course you can. There's a shop down the road selling it, and it's gorgeous still.
It's great. They used to have a song when I was growing up. You can't eat Kennedy's bread. It sticks to your belly like lead. You fart like thunder. Your mother doesn't wonder because you can't eat Kennedy's bread. Anyway.
I've heard a version of that with Brennan's bread too.
I live in East Cork, not far from Waterford. I often wonder why they don't distribute the blah to neighbouring areas. Surely they'd like to increase their sales. I was asking at the bread stalls in the English market. No sign. Why the blah only in Waterford? That's from Una.
Yeah, well, there's two things, I suppose. One is that bread, we've become so used to bread lasting. And, you know, Dermot said to me, bread should be eaten, which should be made in the morning, eaten in the afternoon. But, of course, the amount of preservatives now in bread, I mean, it's a different story, but a lot of preservatives.
Okay, but the blah is not preserved.
The blah isn't. But as we'll hear shortly, there is a move to export it in a frozen capacity. Mm. But I'm sure if Cork people have the demand, then it will be sent down to them.
Now, the process of making a blah, has it changed at all since the 17th century?
No, it hasn't. I mean, the Cork ingredients are the same. There's only four of them. The only difference, of course, is it's less arm muscle and more, you know, pressing the button. So, for example, as I mentioned earlier, Dermot's grandfather, even at the beginning of the 20th century, would have done it by hand. But of course, now it is done by machine. But fundamentally, it is a core, the same core ingredients, the same process.
Now, we know that champagne can only be made in the Champagne region of France. Parmesan can only be made in the Emilia-Romagna region of Italy. And they have legal protection from the EU under their geographical indication labelling regime. The three bakers in Waterford are applying to have the same thing about the blah.
They are. And in fact, the formal application for this is going in this week. And it's a very exciting move that Dermot has really spearheaded to get together. And this EU labelling regime is to try and stop what is happening, you know, increasingly. And we've spoken about it before, Pat, which is the use of the words traditional, handmade, homemade, local, Irish and all the rest, which at the moment, pretty meaningless. Under this EU labelling regime, it gives legal protection to recipes like the Waterford Blah, products like the Waterford Blah. And what it will do is it will make sure that only people in the area of Waterford under that producers group can make blah. And it's, of course, very important.
Now, I'm thinking Boxty from Sligo, Packet and Tripe from Limerick, Drisheen from Cork. Why are we so underrepresented when it comes to this EU labelling regime?
We only have four foodstuffs. They are Connemara Hill Lamb, Clare Island Salmon, Timoleague Brown Pudding and Imakili Regatto Cheese.
So we need
Cork.
To get on the case.
We need to get on the case. And I mean, those examples you give are perfect in terms of ones that really should start looking at this. You know, this is about protecting rural jobs and enterprise. The EU labelling regime, the foods that are under it in Europe are worth 14 billion a year, and it's also very export driven. But there is fundamentally the key thing about it is it's honest and it's got integrity.
Europe and China recently agreed a 10 plus 10 pilot project with the EU and China formally approving the protection of 10 agricultural foods in each other's territories. If Waterford Blah is successful, what's the potential for exporting Blah?
Yeah, because you can export it frozen. And I know certainly with the Food Harvest 2020 report, it is mentioned that we are chronically underrepresented. For a food island, this is a serious issue and it needs to be looked at. Support needs to be given to producers all over Ireland and farmers. With regards to the Waterford Blah, this is Dermot's opinion about the potential for it to be exported.
We've gone into the food service industry. We freeze them. And they freeze very well. We were surprised ourselves. We sent a couple of dozen off to Tenerife this morning. We were just jealous that we weren't going with them.
Who's eating it in Tenerife?
Quite a few local people have apartments over there. And when one lot is coming out, they ask the others, will you go in and collect a load of blahs? So there's four or five dozen blahs, 60 blahs gone off to Tenerife on the plane this morning.
Very good. Like a heroin addiction.
Oh, unbelievable. They go over to England all the time. But at the moment now, we sell them through LaRousse Foods and LaRousse distribute them around the country frozen. Our first priority was to protect the product.
And the process
and the way it's made and the fact that it's made in Waterford. It's not just taken and made up in Dublin, branded and then sent off somewhere else in some big factory, and people don't get to realise what the proper product is all about.
You were saying that cheddar represents a failure for the people who make it.
Yeah, because cheddar now is made all over the world, and it should just be made in the part of England where it originates. And really, you know, it was deemed to be too widespread for this
regime. Labelling to work.
Loch Ness eels in Northern Ireland just got it 2 weeks ago. And it's a big thing for rural Ireland.
All right, a final note then.
A final note is the wonderful Eddie Winbury, who stood on the port of Waterford and told me this poem that he wrote in the 1970, An Ode to the Waterford Blaa.
Outsiders mystified by Waterford's words, some of them think we're just for the birds. Massive is lovely, then you have a cute whore. And when we speak of unmentionables, we talk of manure, but one subject, when spoken, nearly drives them insane. It's a blah, yes, a blah, with its proud claim to fame. A blah with two L's is made from fresh dough, about the size of a saucer. That's the right size, you know. There are things with currants and glazing on top. They're called Sally Lunns and they're sold in many a shop. But the real delicacies are blahs, fresh from the oven, smarter than butter. You could eat half a dozen. The Summerland in Wiltshire's made blahs for the real, and the one sold by Harney's made a great breakfast meal. But the blahs that separated the boys from the men were made by roaches down in the glen. You can fill them with ham or a slice of red lead. In the summer you could try some dillisk instead. Given the right filling, they'd last through the day. They were best eaten fresh and washed down with strong tay. But where did they come from? Did they happen by chance? But the Huguenots brought them from the far shores of France. They called them sorts of French croissants that said, oh la la. We mixed up the translation and called it a blah. They never got popular outside the southeast. There might have been the appearance of the mixture of yeast. But one thing is sure, wherever they meet, whether in China or beels full of wheat, that Waterford people, once they mention their ma, will pop the next question. Well, did you bring over a blah?
Waterford Blaa, a poem by Eddie Winbury. We'll just take a break.